This week, one of our favorite national parks, Badlands National Park, along with Minuteman National Historic Site and Waldrug, South Dakota. This is RV Miles.
Chances are you've seen them on the road. That's because Blue Ox designs and manufactures the best towing products in the industry. Just look around. You'll find them on highways and campgrounds and anywhere you find people traveling in the great outdoors. From award-winning tow bars and base plates to a full line of weight distribution hitches, adjustable ball mounts, and now they have fifth wheel hitches too. With Blue Ox, towing doesn't have to be a drag. Visit blueox.com for more information. If you're like us, you absolutely need internet on your travels. TravelFi is a cellular internet that brings anyone on the move reliable access across the country. It's a small, compact device with no contracts and no commitments. You just pay for the months you use. TravelFi allows you to stream, work, and play on the go. Whether you need internet in your RV, your cabin, even your hotel room, you can get internet in so many different places thanks to their multi-carrier network. And you can browse and work in confidence and comfort when you go to their website and use the code RVMiles15. You'll get 15% off your device order. Again, no contracts, no commitments. Go to TravelFi.com. That's TravelFi.com. There's no E in it. TravelFi.com or go to the link in the description and use the code RVMiles15 for 15% off your device order.
Welcome to episode number 371 of RV Miles. I'm Jason.
And I'm Abby. And we are two RVers who, along with our three boys, Jack, Ethan, and Henry, have been crisscrossing North America on one epic road trip since 2016. Here at RV Miles, we talk all things RV and outdoors, from industry news to travel destinations, our national parks, and a whole lot more.
Welcome back, everybody. This is this episode is going to sort of cover the end of our big spring 8-week trip. This is the last real destination of the trip, which was something that we've loved for a very long time. Badlands National Park. It's an often overlooked park. It's often one that people take a quick stop at. And of course, the RVer rite of passage, Waldrug. In Wall, South Dakota. And this time we also got to visit Minuteman National Historic Site, which is something we overlooked last time we were in the area, the last couple times we were in the area. So we're excited to cover all of that on this episode of the podcast.
Yeah, but first, just a really quick little housekeeping announcement. RV Miles is taking a mini break for the month of August. So we're wrapping up here with this full episode, which is going to be more of a traditional RV Miles podcast. And then in August, we're going to have just little topics. So we're taking the month of August off to, there's so much going on at our house right now. We have a kid starting college. We have school starting back up for people. We've got two birthdays. We've got a kid turning 18. There's just a lot happening.
And we're going to Florida.
And we're going to Florida. So there's just a ton going on. So through the month of August, you're still going to get brand new episodes of the RV Miles podcast, but they are going to be with Al Fresh Tank Black Tank, and they are just going to be based on one singular topic, probably somewhere between 20 to 30 minutes each episode.
And this way, we're able to sort of record some of these in advance and have them ready to go. The Fresh Tank Black Tank is sort of like, it's often topical. It's often time sensitive, so it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for us to sort of pre-record all of those episodes for a month from now. So I think it's a good compromise, a good way to do it.
Yeah. So a big thank you to the folks over at Good Mythical Morning for giving us this idea, because they're doing the same thing for the month of August. So, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. So just look for that, and of course, it will still continue to come out on the podcast feed as well as the RV Miles podcast YouTube channel. Now, for our mile marker friends and for Detour, we are still going to continue to do Detour in real time. So if you want those nuggets of what is happening around RV Miles in real time for the month of August, while all these things are going on around us, that's going to be over there on Detour for our mile marker members. And you can go check that out for yourself at rvmiles.com/milemarkers, where you can get your first month of membership free. So Mile Marker friends, you're still going to be getting that content. You're still going to hear what's going on in our crazy lives behind the scenes week after week.
All right, let's talk about Badlands National Park and this whole area near and around Wall, South Dakota. So we left the town of Custer, which is on the west side of the Black Hills of South Dakota, and made our way through the mountains, such as they are. They're not big, but it's somewhat mountainous.
I love there,
and headed over to Badlands, which was interesting for us because the times that we've been here in the past, we've come the other way.
Yes.
We've moved east to west, which is the cool thing about when you move east to west is South Dakota is, it's really rolling with these big wide grasslands, not a ton of trees. It's just these sort of open grassland areas. And then you make your way to the west side of the state, and the Badlands sort of drop out of nowhere. It's just like the earth starts to disappear, like it goes down. And then beyond that, then the Black Hills rise out of nowhere. So it was kind of the reverse of that this time. And we made our way through the Black Hills over to Badlands National Park. And Badlands is this wild place where the topography of it changes fairly rapidly. I think last we heard from a ranger that the erosion here happens at a rate of like an inch a year. So, you go to this place 10 years later, and it's quite different than it was 10 years prior. And I think that's really interesting. And part of that is the fact that this is sort of just all, I don't know what these formations are. It's not rock. It's mainly sort of dirt that can, break away and crumble. And you just explore this vast wild landscape that just dips out of nowhere. And you can see these wonderful sunsets. There's all kinds of wildlife there. And it's, like I said earlier, it's sort of an overlooked park, I think, for a lot of people. Or sometimes people just take a drive through it as they cross I-90 and don't stay and spend some time there. They maybe plan a half day or something.
Yeah, I don't know that it's so much overlooked, but I do think it doesn't get, because for a lot of people, it's on my way to something, right? It's the on my way to park. It's kind of like Petrified Forest National Park. We talked about how much we really liked that. That's kind of like the I'm on my way to something National Park as well. So I believe that this is the second time we've been here. There's a little bit of a debate that we've been here three times, but I do believe it's the second time we've been here. We were here in 2018 with the bus, and that is when we stayed on the Wall, which is an incredibly popular boondocking spot. When we were there in 2018, there was really nobody there. I mean, for boondocking in 2018, it was quite busy. When we drove past there this year in 2025, that place was packed. The secret is out about one of the best boondocking spots in all of the country.
In fact, we've heard a lot of people that have visited this year say that they've made some changes and they've put up signs for designated individual sites. They're not like reservable or anything yet, but designated individual sites at the Wall. So the Wall is sort of this, it's in the Buffalo Gap National Grassland is its technical location. And it's right up against, like I said, how the Badlands sort of drop out from the earth. And it's sort of at the edge of that. And that's where the town of Wall, South Dakota gets its name. And you can camp along the edge of this and sort of see this beautiful overlook of the entire Badlands National Park area.
But that is not where we stayed on this trip. So this time we got to stay inside the national park. So Badlands does have a campground. It's called the Cedar Pass Campground. And this is what we did. We were only there for two nights. And both of us, when we arrived, thought to ourselves, really wish we had booked a couple more nights here, maybe cut some things short in Custer and come here and have like one or two nights, because it truly is the most spectacular place to see a sunset. And that time of year, so it's late May that we were there, it's not too hot yet. So you're still able to enjoy these wide open, unshaded, you know, the campground is not shaded. Everything you're going to do is in the wide open space. You're still able to really, really enjoy that without the sun beating down on you. So we stayed at Cedar Pass Campground in 2025. It was $47 a night for just 30 and 50 amp hookup. No water, no sewer. They have dump station on site. I do believe they have coin showers, and then they have flush toilets that are seasonable. I wanted to leave this part of the campground conversation to you. Like, I'm literally going to just put a spotlight on you and let you go, because I know for a fact you are about to have some strong feelings about this, the way this campground is laid out.
It's weird. It's the weirdest campground layout we've ever encountered.
Listen, if they had had a Ziosk there, he would have left a strongly worded comment.
Those of you that have been there know this, but the way this campground is laid out is that there are sort of loop roads that go through the campground, and you're parking parallel to that road on either side of it. So you're not backing into a site, pulling through a site, you're pulling over on the side of the road, and that's your site. There's a site marker, there's your electric hookup and all that sort of stuff, but it is on the side of the road. Now, that would be normal and fine. We've seen that here and there before. If it wasn't that some of the sites are on one side of the road, some of the sites are on the other side of the road, but the road's a one way. So if you are on, for instance, on the road we were on, if you are on the right, if you know you're coming down the correct direction as a one way, if you're on the right side, your campsite of your RV, your door and all that is going to face out into some grass and your picnic table and everything. If you are on the other side of the road, the left side, as we were, your front door faces out into the road.
Your sun deck faces out into the road. Your slide faces out into the road. It's not awkward at all.
And apart, you know, the electrical hookups in a weird spot to get to the back and all that sort of stuff. So basically, you go outside. You know, especially if you have the fold out. You know, you've got fold out solid steps. Mm-hmm. Those go out into the road. Those are like kind of the furthest protrusion. You're kind of worried that somebody's going to hit them with their vehicle or something, and when you go outside and want to hang out in your campsite, you know, you go out your steps and then you're walking in the road and go around your RV and to the other side of it. It's very odd, particularly because it seems so incredibly easily fixable.
Now, to be fair, they do list it on the recreation.gov. They do call it road parking. Sure. So to be fair, they're not like giving you any indication that you are going to be in a traditional campsite. Also, and I don't know if this is the case in all of the loop, but it does seem like that they have put in some places the longer, bigger sites, because we were able to book this and we were truthful, 43 feet, and we were able to book this spot. I think it was up to 45. They did have on the other side of us tent campers. So you're not getting another big rig RV across from you where you have two sides coming out into the road.
At least at our spot.
Right. Well, all the spots by us leading were all three on the other side were all tent camping spots, because they were non-electric tent spots is how they have them listed. And they only have them, I think, for up to
So that's even weirder to me, because it's like, well, then the tent camper should be on the other side, because the direction they face doesn't matter.
Well, sure. But the point I was making was I didn't want it to give anyone the impression who's not seen this campground or been there before thinking that we had all of our slides and our steps out, and then someone across from us had the same thing happening, and we had this very narrow road going between us where cars were really, really close to our RVs, because that was not the case at all. I never felt unsafe stepping out of the radio into the road. The road was wide enough.
But are you saying that an RV could not book the site across from us?
I'm not saying that, because I don't have recreation.gov pulled up in front of me, but I can tell you that, like, if you're looking for an electrical site,
Yeah.
And you have to be under a certain amount. So maybe a class B is going to come in there. Something smaller is going to come in there. But they're not going to put another 45-foot behemoth.
But something smaller could still have a slide that comes.
Sure. But the IVEX, if the IVEX was across from us.
The IVEX is the same width as our rig now. It had a deep slide that would have came out into the row.
Yes, but the IVEX isn't going to take all of the space. It's able to fit into the deeper part of the spot, whereas we were not. We took from the very front of the spot to the very back of the spot. So we had slides coming out on the further ends of the site, right? So where they start to narrow, whereas the IVEX on the other side, even if it had been there with its slide, would have been in the thickest, widest part of the spot. So
you can't see. It's just sort of odd. You know, the people behind us, they decided to come in the wrong direction because they thought it just made more sense that way.
They were like, and we're not here for this nonsense. We totally want.
I think it leads to lots of potential confusion, and it's just strange, but that's okay.
Regardless,
it's a wonderful location.
Yeah, we loved it because you're right down there. So we're on the north side of the park, and you are right there by Cedar Pass Lodge and Restaurant, which I use that word loosely. It looks more like a cafeteria. And then you're also by the visitor center for the north side of the park. And the north side of the park is kind of, I do believe, sort of the main hub of the park.
The other... I don't know if the other side is called the south side, but the other unit of the park is a little bit more remote. And there's some camping back there, but it is, you're away from everything. And that's kind of where like the bison are and stuff. There are bison in this park, but it's in a more grassland area, whereas this campground is within the Badlands formations. And because it's not, there's no trees or anything like that, there's very few trees. You have sort of this 360 degree view of all of these wonderful formations and watching the big skies and the beautiful sunsets that happen, you know, and the changes in the sky throughout the course of the day.
You are within walking distance of the lodge, of the gift shop, of the visitor center, of the amphitheater where they have nightly stargazing during the season. They'll have nightly ranger programs all sort of built around stargazing because it's an incredible park to see the stars. Unfortunately, it was quite cloudy while we were there. But, you know, to me, even with the weird sort of setup or untraditional setup of the campground, just being inside a national park, the energy of being inside a national park beats any other campground any day for me.
More in a moment, but first, this episode is sponsored by RVMattress.com by Brooklyn Bedding. Get a real mattress for your RV instead of the cheap piece of foam that it came with at RVMattress.com by Brooklyn Bedding. They sell real mattresses in all the odd sizes RVs require, like short kings, Olympic queens, odd bunk sizes, different thicknesses, and more. Their mattresses are toxin-free, made in their factory in Arizona, and shipped to you vacuum-sealed wherever you are. You just unwrap them and let them expand. They have a 120-night sleep trial, free shipping, and a limited lifetime warranty. But the best part is the RV Miles community gets 30% off, the best deal they ever offer. Any day of the year with code RVMiles at RVMattress.com/RVMiles. That's RVMattress.com/RVMiles with code RVMiles at checkout for 30% off. Harvest Host is a membership that allows RVers to take a rest from the road and enjoy unlimited overnight stays at over 5,000 unique locations in North America, like breweries, farms, attractions, wineries, and much more. Easily plan and book your next RV trip and enjoy over $1,500 in exclusive member benefits by joining Harvest Hosts. Get 15% off your first year of membership with the code MILES. That's MILES. Go to harvesthost.com to become a Harvest Host member today.
Let's talk a little bit about, we were only there for 2 days, but we packed a ton of stuff into those 2 days because we specifically said we're going to take these 2 days off from work because we want to make sure that we really get to enjoy this before.
We did nothing but the parks those days because and the kids were off school and everything. So we spent a whole lot of time driving the road. So if you don't have the time to spend some time in this park and stay, you know, at least a night or two, it is one of those parks that you can drive through, kind of like, as Abby mentioned, it's very similar to Petrified Forest National Park, where as you're coming along I-90 in either direction, you can get off at the exit for Badlands, drive through Badlands, and then rejoin I-90 on at the next exit on the other side. So you're not really, you know, you may be adding like a 45 minutes, an hour to your trip, but you have at least driven through and seen it. So if you don't have the time, that is one option for you. But we spent a lot of time driving that road through the park and seeing some of the areas that we hadn't spent a lot of time at in the past. You and I went off on our own a few times and just, you know, went to an overlook at sunset to sort of watch the sunset. And you often at that time of day aren't dealing with too many people, because I think a lot of people that visit this park are not staying overnight. They're either in Rapid City, they come in for the day or whatever it might be. And they're not really there past, you know, the 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah. So the road that Jason's kind of alluding to is, I believe, called Badlands Loop Road. It's Highway 240. It's the most popular loop road in the park. There's a few others when you go on the website, but this seems to be the one that everyone does. It has a lot of pull-off locations that you can go off to and take small little walks, you know, further into the Badlands. So, you know, it's not just one of those roads. If you have the time, you can make a whole afternoon of it, like several hours, especially if you stop at all of the different pull-offs. So we did that. We watched the sunset. We took the kids into, because of course no trip to Badlands is complete without going to Wall Drought. They have been bombarding you with billboards since you left California. So it is like they just want to remind you that they are there. So you got to go to Wall Drug.
Yeah, we don't need to get too deep into what Wall Drug is, but it's, you know, it was an old fashioned drugstore that has been built upon and built upon and built upon and built upon. And it has, it's like a whole city block now of all sorts of shopping.
So it's just room after room after room of gift shop shopping of in various forms. We ate breakfast there. It's fine. It's nothing to write home about. The 5 cent coffee and the donuts is kind of like the big thing. And just know that 5 cent coffee is 5 cent coffee. It was basically heated water with, like, you know, some taster's choice.
There are one of the few places in the world left that gives out free stickers, though. So.
This is true. And not just like teeny tiny little ones. They give out like big old bumper stickers. Yeah. But I do know that they have now put a limit.
Yeah, one per family.
One per family, not per person, but per family is the limit now. So we did that in one day. We did that in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we headed over to Misselman National Historic Site. And we just went to the visitor center. And the visitor center is also right off of 90. It's another one of those things that a lot of people can stop. There are several different silos throughout this whole area, and you can drive to all of them, but they're a bit of a drive in their location. So,
and there are some tours and stuff, and we weren't able to if you're unfamiliar with Minuteman Missile National Historic Site, what it is, the government placed these missile silos all over sort of the Dakotas and in Kansas, and mainly they were placed here because they would be targets. So these are, you know, warheads that can, you know, this is a relic of the Cold War. And they were trying to place them away from population centers because they would essentially be targets. And you know, obviously the people that lived in the area probably had a lot to feel about that. But you can go visit these silos. But what we just did is went to the visitor center and watched the film, which is a wonderful film about this whole program and about the, you know, the whole Cold War. And the visitor center has lots of great exhibits about the proliferation of nuclear warheads and all that sort of stuff. And it was a really moving thing to go do and see. And I think the kids got a lot out of it, even without being able to go see one of the sites itself.
Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable, like watching the park video. You feel a little uncomfortable watching it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's just a piece of history that can be a little uncomfortable, but it also elicited a lot of really good discussion afterwards. So it did what it was supposed to do. If you don't have time to do the silos and you don't have time for a tour, please still stop at the visitor center. It's a small visitor center, but we probably spent about an hour there. It's worth it. You can couple that with then driving over to Badlands if you don't have time, you know, to go through Badlands. Just put both of those there. They're right next to one another.
It's literally across the highway from Badlands. So all this stuff is very close to each other.
Yeah. So the last thing we did was, and we've talked a little bit about this in the past or alluded to this hike. So Jason and I went on a hike while we were at Badlands. The kids were not interested in hiking. So you do have cell reception when you are in Badlands. So the kids were not interested in going on a hike. At this point, they were like, yeah, we have like 1 foot at home. Like, we're good. So we can see this is starting to look familiar, like prairie land. We know we're getting close to home. So Jay and I went on a hike and this was such a great hike. And I think if you can only pick one hike to do, and they have several, but if you can only pick one, this would be the one that I would recommend, because I feel like we got a really good overview of the different types of terrain in the park. And it's called the Medicine Route Loop Trail. It was about 4 miles total.
Mm-hmm. And you could choose a different route that would make it longer.
Yeah.
Combining it with another section of a trail.
And we did, actually. We attached the Saddle Pass offshoot, which was about a half a mile, about halfway through the trail. And we went and did that. And what it does is it takes you to what is essentially the summit of the Saddle Pass trail that you can do, which is about, I think, a quarter mile, but it's like straight up just to get to the top of this beautiful overlook. And you get this wonderful view of the Badlands. Well, we didn't have to do this incredibly strenuous quarter mile that we were watching people do, who are like climbing it and then stopping to put their, you know, their hands on their knees and just be like, oh, okay, I'm going to keep going. Or, you know, they're in their flip flops and you're thinking, you were not prepared for this when you saw it was a quarter mile. So we added that to this 4 mile loop that we did. So we got that beautiful overview. And if I can make a recommendation on the way to do it, do the loop counterclockwise. So we did it counterclockwise, and we really liked that because we got to go through traditional Badlands landscape first. And then after the pass, and as we start to come around, then we were up in like beautiful prairie. And it was such a lovely hike, and it was really, really quiet. We only encountered a few hikers.
Very few.
But we had the best time. We went late afternoon, so we were getting sort of like the beginning of sunset. Actually, I think we went after dinner out. Let me take that back, because it started like we were coming into sunset hour as we got off the trail. We wanted to kind of time it that we wouldn't be out in the dark, but that we would get back. And something cool, too, about Badlands with hiking is they're an open hike park, meaning that you can hike off trail. You can hike wherever you want to go. They have designated.
There are a few boardwalks that you have to stay on the boardwalk.
Yeah, and they have that, but they're trails. They're hiking trails. Those are listed as open trail spots, and they have that. You can read more about it on Badlands website and what exactly that means. But it's really cool for some of those places, like when we were on this trail, that you could kind of wander off a little bit and spend a little bit of time in the formations. And also, as a reminder, when you come up on a trail like this, they're going to have a booklet that they want you to sign into before you head out on the trail so that they know, and then you sign back in. So they know that you're out there, and then they check and they know that that person has returned and that they have signed out, that they have finished the hike and they're back. It's a way to ensure that hikers are staying safe out there and no one's been injured and is unable to be found. So I loved that hike. I think it's one of my favorite things we did on that 8-week trip. I don't know about you. But
yeah. Oh, no. Especially because this trip we've talked about before, we were not able to hike very much because there was so much of it that was in snow or mud. And this was, you know, late in the trip. It was, you know, now late spring And this is a drier area, and we're finally able to kind of be somewhere where we could actually do a decent hike. And it was nice, and you know, for us to be able to actually do a longer hike too. A lot of the hikes we'd done previous had been, you know, just 1 mile or so.
Yeah, my hiking boots got dirty. I wasn't finally my new hiking boots that I had bought at the beginning of the trip finally got dirty, because we did run into some wet spots, some quite muddy spots on this trail. But that was fun. I mean, the whole thing was fun. It's a great trail. I can't say enough. It's not super strenuous. It's just a lot of walking, but I don't really think that there was anything where, you know, like the people trying to climb up Sata Pass, they were just absolutely winded out of their minds, regretting all
the light decisions. It was the trade off was that it was very flat and long.
Yeah, you do. It is sort of like one of those. We can get on this grass soon? I'm ready to be done with the grass part. So that was our time in Badlands. And this is it. This was like the end of the 8 weeks.
And I think I'd like to close this with this area, the Black Hills, Badlands, Wall, Minibun, Custer, all of it. This is an area that is so accessible for a very large part of the country. And a lot of new RVers dreaming about going to, you know, Yellowstone, Yosemite, Grand Canyon, all of it. And you know, those can be big journeys for a lot of people. But this is a really, really accessible place for so many people where you get that. You absolutely get that type of experience and even more. And I think some of the people have even commented, like on our last episode about Custer and the Black Hills, about how this is such a great first place for RVers to go. There's so much camping. There's so many different options, whether you're want to go to a private campground or you want to go to state parks, you want to go to a national park campground. You've got lots of different options. You've got lots of national parks. You've got lots of state parks and so much to do. You could spend a very long time here. And if you do that, as you should, don't make just driving out to Badlands sort of like a half-day experience and think you're going to want to do Badlands and Minuteman and Wall and all that in a half-day. You can do it, but you're going to get there and realize you want to spend more time there.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why in our first or second sort of year of RVing, this is where we ended up. I mean, the first place, and this is probably a whole episode we could do, is just talk about what we think are some of the, how to cut your teeth on RVing experiences that don't have you, you know, driving to Alaska for an amazing adventure.
We're not going to the passes. It's nothing difficult. It's really great.
It was a great introduction for us into going west, because we had been intimidated by that part of the country. And this was a really great way for us to kind of get out of the South. We'd spent a lot of time in the South and kind of down in the Southwest. And this was a really great experience for us to kind of know, yeah, we can do this. But it's in a little bit more of an accessible environment than, you know, Bighorn National Forest.
And it's not remote at all.
Vail Pass.
You've got airports. You've got Walmart. You've got everything you need.
Yeah, you got Chili's. You're fine. You got Applebee's. You're all going to be fine. It's great. So that was the Badlands. It's over. It's time to go home now. And we were ready.
We
were ready to go home. So if you have any suggestions about this area, maybe something that we missed or you would like to, you know, sort of add to this discussion, we would love to hear it. You can leave it in the comments. If you're watching this video on YouTube, you can pop over to the RV Miles Facebook group. You can leave it there, or you can send us a private email too. We love being able to just have like one-on-one conversations back and forth with y'all over email. So find us at editor@rvmiles.com. Otherwise, this is it. And this better be it for a while when it comes to 8 week trips, because we need to not do things this big for a while.
We said we wouldn't, then we did it. We confirmed that we were right, that we're people that want to be out for 2 or 3 weeks at a time.
And there's a lot of things that are going to keep us closer to home as we have a kid getting ready to start college and the school year getting ready to start back up. We'll talk more about that on Detour. But yeah, it's time for RV Miles to be a little less epic and a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Chill. It's time for us to be a little bit more chill for a few seasons. Okay, it is time to check the level of our tanks. And this is sponsored by our friends over at Liquefied RV Toilet Treatment, the no BS toilet treatment. You can find them at liquefiedrv.com or at a Walmart near you. Okay, Jay, what is in your fresh tank?
So I'll start with my black tank because we...
Oh, but have you noticed I've been doing that a lot lately? Yeah. And I think it's because I just want good vibes. Just want the good energy. Okay, what is in your black stinky tank?
My black tank is that there have been these mostly TikToks.
What did you do?
That have been going viral that are about wildlife. It's kind of started with bison, and then there was a post about grizzlies and elk. It's about wildlife mysteriously leaving Yellowstone National Park. And these are actual videos of the wildlife, for whatever reason, leaving Yellowstone National Park.
I'm sorry. I just have a vision of like a bison with like its little suitcase, is put on its little traveling pad, and it's just standing there. And it's like, well, it's been a good run here. I gotta go. I'm done now. Bye.
So the National Park Service had to sort of come out and debunk this, that this is not something that's happening. And these posts are essentially AI video. And I'm, remember a year ago, like AI video would be like, oh, if it was a human, it would have like spaghetti fingers and there'd be twirling.
Like had an extra eye sort of bite's ear. Yeah.
Well, AI videos getting to the point where it's going to convince a lot of people a lot of different things.
Yeah, like the wildlife are exiting Yellowstone. Do the videos say where the wildlife is going?
No, there's just...
They're just leaving.
Nobody knows.
They're just leaving Yellowstone.
There's always this thing about Yellowstone where it being a super volcano, there's always the conspiracy theorists that are like, it's about to go off. And the government's hiding from us that it is about to go off. So there were, 700 earthquakes last year, which means it's about to go off, which is, how it is always.
Seven.
And there's something about that sort of mystery of like, oh, maybe the animals are leaving because they know something that we don't know.
Or maybe you just didn't see animals because Yellowstone is freaking huge. I mean, no, I will say as one who was just there 2 months ago, I can tell you that the wildlife is alive and well. In fact, not even knowing this trend was happening, I just put a reel out, a TikTok, a short, whatever you want to call it. I just put one out about all the wildlife that we saw on our Yellowstone trip.
Well,
so much.
Also, Yellowstone isn't fenced in.
It's not a zoo, people.
The wildlife, yeah, they actually do leave and come back and they migrate. And, most of them, sort of stay in their area, but they do migrate.
There's hibernate.
There's stuff that they can't go where they want to go.
Yeah, they do what they want to do. They go where they want to go.
Just the idea that somebody could take a camera and be like, look at these bison leaving Yellowstone. First, where do you go to do that? Because the park is pretty much surrounded by like dense forest.
I just can't get the image of my head, like out of my head, of just people being like, look, these bison are leaving. And it's just like a trail of bison. They've packed up all their belongings. But leaving.
People will believe this stuff. And then someone sees, oh, that guy did that and it went viral. And so now I'm going to do the same thing and make it go viral.
It's a wild day in the 7 years we've been covering the National Park Service for America's national parks and now parkography. It is so rare that the National Park Service ever addresses this kind of content or this kind of earthy fear. Yeah, this kind of wild sort of like just catching fire in misinformation, disinformation that's out there. It is so rare for them to comment. And the fact that they commented on this, that they have a post addressing where all the animals in Yellowstone are, it just blows my mind. This is the world we live in now.
They're going into town. They're living in the cabins in West Hills.
They're headed to get some barbecue in West Yellowstone. It's fine. So the wildlife is there. Okay. It's there. Okay. What is in your fresh tank this week?
My fresh tank is, well, I just cleaned up the truck. You know, so Jack and I did our road trip to Virginia, which we'll talk about on another episode. But, you know, every time you go on a road trip, it gets kind of icky in the vehicle when you get home. And I actually hadn't really deep cleaned it since we got back from our 8 weeks on the road.
Yeah.
So
it was really dirty.
So I did a deep clean of the inside. And I've been trying as much as possible to wash our own cars now that we have a driveway and a hose and a place to do it. Whereas before that was never really an option.
Never.
So I wash the cars in the driveway and stuff, and I'm, you know, trying to keep the insides cleaner and you know, kind of like mini detail them. And one of the great things about the internet that is different than the sort of making things up and making them go viral is, you know, how-to content out there. And there's all kinds of content about like how to clean and detail your car and
how to do things in your RV and clean a toilet.
Right.
There's so much how-to content out there.
So I bought these sort of like a sticky gel. Like it's like slime, essentially. It, you know, this is a big thing for anybody that has kids in sort of like the 8 to 12 year old range. They like to make slime these days. And one of the things that car detailers will use is like this slime or putty or gel that you just use to get in all the corners of things to pick out all the little crumbs and ick. So I bought some of that, and you know, I know this isn't news to a lot of people, but like what I'm using is the Chemical Guys sticky icky car cleaning gel. But you just like, if you got, you know, a cup holder's dirty and you've tried to clean it out, but you can't get the towel deep in there or whatever, you just drop it in there and let it form to the edges. And then you pull it out and it, you know, it gets all the ick out, all the seams in the leather seats. I could, you know, roll it out thin and lay it on the seam and let it just get in there. And then you pull it up and it just pulls all those little crumbs out of there.
How satisfying does that sound? It sounds so satisfying.
The switches in the door that get dust down in there and stuff. You just pull it right up. The vents, you can stick it in the vents and pull all that dust out.
I thought the interior of the truck looked quite nice. You're right. He was in it. Yes, sir.
Well,
very, very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chemical Guys.
All right. What's in your black tank this week?
Okay. So my black tank, like if you're an avid reader, don't come at me after I say this, but I've got to talk about this. So let me preface this by saying I am a Shakespeare reading girl. I love me some Austen. I love me some Bronte. I have read all the classics. I did my best to get all the way through Les Mis. I did my best to get all the way through Tolkien. I have read a lot of large fiction. I've read a lot of fiction that is episodic over numerous books. Lately, I've been reading a lot of more recent fiction written in the last 5 to 10 years, let's say. I have one comment. I love a good world building, okay? I love building the world. I love building the world. I love the characters. I love all of it. I need editors to start editing their authors. I don't understand. I don't know if it's a trend. I don't know if it's because of how we communicate now in this world. But the amount of talking about the same thing for pages at a time, just using different words and colors to describe it, when I have already gotten the point, or I can, you know, I just need a little bit more editing. And this, I don't think, is anything new. Like I said, I could not get through Tolkien. Like, I couldn't. I did not need 5 million pages on Tom Bombadil and Goldberry. I didn't.
Which is so, why they're not in the movie.
Which is why when Peter Jackson was like, scratch that. I just saved myself 5 hours. So I understand this is nothing new. But I'm reading one particular type of book right now in a very particular genre. I'm reading another book right now in a very particular genre. And I'm reading another book in another particular genre because I insist on being in a lot of book clubs, I guess. All of them, I keep thinking to myself, I can't believe we're still talking about this. You started the chapter talking about this and we're halfway through this chapter and we haven't left. The train has not left this station. We're still at the station. We're still at the station. And so I feel like I just need editors to edit a little more. If we're trying to make a page count, like we need this book to hit 600 pages. So I need you to just go start shoving filler words in for me. Then there's something wrong with modern fiction. Like, and, you know, again, I spent a lot of my career as an actor where we didn't get everything to describe to us in a play. You don't get everything described to you in a play. You get the words that the characters are saying, and then you have to interpret those in some respect. Sometimes you're very explicitly said, no, this is how you feel, right? Or your director is going to guide you to where they want you to go. But the amount of hand-holding that is happening right now, I don't know. Get off my lawn, I guess. That's what I'm going to say. Just get off my lawn.
All right. What's in your fresh tank this week?
So my fresh tank is just a really wonderful story that I just wanted to share about our family that, you know, Jason and Jack were in Virginia for a Charlottesville for Jack's camp. And over that time, Ethan was also in camp here at home. And he was doing the musical Hadestown, which I saw that 4 times and it wrecked me every single time. I cried all weekend long last night. Or I cried all weekend long last weekend. And I'm still thinking about it. This musical is bananas. Anyway, Jason and Jack were going to be able to make it because they were going to get home late Sunday night, possibly Monday. And Ethan's show was a Sunday matinee. And so we didn't think they were going to be there. And Ethan was super bummed. And these two, Jason and Jack, led by Jack, decided to just haul butt to get home, got up super early on Saturday, got up super early on Sunday, and they covered those 900 miles in about 36 hours, less than that probably, in order to get home and get that rig parked. And look, rockstar guy here, he parked that rig in its covered spot. And you know, we've talked about how you gotta have the wheels like right up on their right spot. He got it parked. He got it set up. He got this one of the slides open and he did it all in 15 minutes. And he and Jack jumped in the truck and they drove down to the theater and they walked in the door right as the curtain was about to go up and these kids were about to do
it. It was like an afternoon too. So it was 1:30 job. And
it was so great to be able to surprise Ethan at the end of the show. He didn't think we were going to.
He had just no idea. I had no idea. I didn't know until that morning because we have location sharing on our phones. And so I was texting him, just kind of trying to get an idea of what time they thought they were going to be home. Had they gotten on the road? I was kind of seeing if he was up. And I was like, oh, wow, they're like already in Indiana. Oh, great. Okay, they're going to be home. Like, you know, still not putting two and two together. And then he was like, I'm trying to surprise you guys. And so when Ethan came out of the theater, and Ethan was already really emotional because they had a senior send-off at the show. So all the senior actors, senior high school kids that are graduating from the company, this was their last show. And Ethan's really, you know, looks up to a lot of them. And so he comes out into the audience at the end of the show, at the end of the day, and he's already emotional. But when he sees his dad and Jack, he just bursts into tears and he just runs to his dad, and the dad and Jack, they come to him and they all just embrace. And Ethan just, he just bursts into tears because he's so happy to see his dad and his brother and that they made it. And I just, that will live on my heart forever because it was so wonderful. And it was just kind of a reminder of why we do what we do, but also how RVing is flexibility. You know, if you guys had been beholden to a flight or something like that, it would have just been what it would have been. Maybe you could have changed your flight. You know, maybe something you could have made it happen. But the fact that, you know, RVing not only gave us the ability to take Jack to this film camp for him to have this amazing experience with his friends, but then for you to, you guys to be able to make that long drive, have somewhere you can stop on your own time, sleep, get food, do everything you need to take care of your bodies, get back on the road, get home, and get down there. And it's just amazing. It was so good.
It was really great. It was a great show, and we were thrilled to be okay to her.
That's it for this week's episode of the RV Miles Podcast.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for joining us. And just a reminder, if you're doing any shopping on Amazon, why don't you take RV Miles with you? It is a simple and easy way to support what we do here. Just start at amazon.com/shop/RV Miles. You don't even have to buy anything in our store. Anything you buy on Amazon helps us keep doing what we're doing here. So thank you very much for that. And until next week, friends, please stay safe. Edit yourself if you're a writer. I'm begging you. And keep logging those RV Miles.
Bye, everybody. Bye.